believe some of those videos that came out basically had folks proposing the most ridiculous things they could think of. And the Acorn folks were all about it. Foundation-funded left cover. Essentially, kids, that's how fascism works. It's not top-down. It's from the bottom up. It's the recruitment of folks like you. But hopefully not you. U.S. seeking a third delay on Guantanamo cases. Gee, we just mentioned something about that a minute ago, didn't we? The Obama administration said it would decide by mid-November whether to bring charges in federal court in the U.S. against five detainees at Guantanamo Bay. And those guys are accused of involvement in 9/11. Captain Connie Rhodes asks for Judge Clay Land to reconsider. What does all this mean? Well, let's go to the Ledger Inquirer. Army Captain Connie Rhodes, who unsuccessfully petitioned a federal court to stop her deployment to Iraq by arguing Obama can't legitimately hold the office, has asked U.S. District Court Judge Clay Land to reconsider his Wednesday ruling. The emergency request for stay of deployment and request to amend the judgment was filed Thursday on behalf of Rhodes by attorney Orly Tates, a national figure in the birther movement. And as have we documented and gone into quite well in weeks past here, Orly Tates, for whatever the birther issue is, I call it a huge black hole distraction. Someone like Orly Tates is completely, completely without any credibility. If you watch any of her clips or any of her videos, she's a wrecker. She's meant to get out in front and screw the whole thing up. Alex Constantine going further into it. Orly Tates and the birthers falling down into the rabbit hole. We do have a video of AIPAC's number one target in his first post-jail interview. And I believe it's with Greta Van Susteren, but it's James Traficant. If you recall, a couple weeks ago, we went over his recent release from prison and played a quick clip of some of his greatest hits, speaking before his hearing. The CFR says, that's the Council on Foreign Relations. You should learn about them if you don't know about them. CFR. They say what we've all said many, many times, and let's again jump to CorbettReport.com. In the latest podcast from Foreign Affairs, the public face of the Council on Foreign Relations, Gideon Rose and Robert McMahon discussed the differences in the foreign policy of Bush and Obama, concluding, quote, there's a lot of rhetoric, but it's usually more about America and its ideals and what we want to be seen to be doing rather than the actual impact of our operations. There's a lot of rhetoric. But that's the only difference in the current puppet and the previous puppet. So that's another great article from James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. We wrote back and forth about that article, as I note that I subscribe to all those Council on Foreign Relations podcasts and video podcasts, because it's a great way to keep up with the enemy. And with that, I should tell you, my friends, that we're now into hour number two of episode 141 of Media Monarchy. It's September 18th, 2009. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and CyberspaceWar.com. Coming to you from the Portland Radio Authority, PRARadio.org, ZeroPointRadio.com, RevereRadio.net, FrOlympia.org, BoulderFreeRadio.com, BerkeleyLiberationRadio.net, and CascadiaPublicRadio.org. Another note on the Council on Foreign Relations, this time from NormanTranscript.com. This comes under an article called Agriculture Secretary Bullish on Rural America. As part of a rural tour of America assigned to him by Obama, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. Council on Foreign Relations member, former governor of Iowa, and a lawyer. So he's just trustworthy on a multitude of levels. He's going through rural America doing his all shucks thing. We need to pull up our bootstraps and farmers will be okay, even though there's the systematic destruction of all things natural. If we jump down a little bit, Vilsack asked about climate change, said he believes it is happening, and spoke of a visit to Colorado where the catastrophic destruction of lodgepole pine trees is due to a beetle that kills trees. Huh? Vilsack pointed to warmer temperatures in North America not killing off the beetles, as was the case before warmer temp, blah, blah, blah. Asked about emissions trading, or cap and trade, and its effect on Oklahoma's agricultural economy, Vilsack noted having taken part in a recent climate change task force project with the Council on Foreign Relations. We, again, have noted many, many times the somewhat hidden agenda of the Council on Foreign Relations and the geoengineering agenda. We went into that on the previous B-side up on cyberspacewar.com, going into the U.S. Navy's experimentation of launching rockets into the skies to create artificial cloud formations. Former Interior Secretary Gail Norton is the focus of a corruption probe. The Justice Department investigation centers on a 2006 decision to award oil shale leases in Colorado to a Royal Dutch Shell subsidiary. Months later, the oil giant hired Norton as a legal counsel. Lastly, on the Obamasiah and the Apostles of War update, CFR, Acorn, Rhetoric, and Race War, Obama's cousin Dick Cheney is going to be undergoing spinal surgery. This from the Washington Times. Now, we lump left and right and all the Congress critters together under whatever current puppet regime we have. So I just call it Obamasiah and the Apostles of War, whether it's Obama or Cheney or Norton or Vilsack or Sebelius or Foley or God knows what. Phony left-right paradigm, breaking it down. We are nonpartisan on MediaMonarchy.com. Both sides completely blackmailable and corruptible. And they do not have your best interests at heart. Maybe not all of them, maybe not every single one of them. But I bet if you actually looked at what your local rep is for, you'll be disturbed. I'm not sure I've found a thing yet that Earl Blumenauer is for that I'm for, and I haven't found anything that I'm for that he isn't against. The bike thing is the best thing Blumenauer's got going for him. Audit the Fed. In the war, any of that stuff, yeah, he's not for it. Just like most of the rest of the fake progressive Democrats. They're all right with the right war. What does all this get us? Where does all this bring us? We went over all the 9/11 updates, the 9/12 updates, and the Coast Guard drills. And we go over the military drills and exercises many, many times on MediaMonarchy.com, as I've already told you why. We go over them for as many reasons as the drills themselves are being run, for a multitude of reasons. We've been soaking in something called Vigilant Guard for quite some time, and under that banner of Vigilant Guard, right now, FEMA and NORTHCOM, I realize I have a typo, but it's somewhat appropriate. I called them NORTHCON. Maybe I'll fix that, maybe I won't. FEMA and NORTHCOM run Vigilant Guard drills from Montana on September 15th through the 18th, so that's supposedly ending today, and going to publicintelligence.net. From September 15th through the 18th, the Montana National Guard will be performing a joint exercise with FEMA and NORTHCOM to help coordinate emergency response to natural and man-made disasters. The exercise is one of many regional Vigilant Guard exercises being held by the National Guard this year. The Puerto Rico National Guard just finished its Vigilant Guard exercise, rather, back in March it finished. And another round of exercises in Iowa ended in June. These Vigilant Guard exercises are part of a larger national-level program called Ardent Century. Ardent Century is conducted by NORTHCOM and NORAD, and its major venues include not only the Vigilant Guard exercises, but also Amalgam DART, involving air defense activities at Camp Relea in Oregon, and also a nuclear weapons incident exercise with a U.S. Air Force response near Cheyenne, Wyoming. FEMA, NORTHCOM, NORAD, the FAA, the military, all these guys involved in the drills that we saw on 9/11. As we went over the mistaken drill from the Coast Guard on 9/11/09, we see how the drills roll. If I'm not explaining myself well enough, I would recommend checking out Webster Tarpley's work on the drills on the morning of 9/11. Even though Richard Myers, when grilled by Cynthia McKinney, said that the confluence of drills actually made the response of 9/11 better than it would have been. Shudder to think what that would mean. Tarpley's work on the drills, Greg Nixon, ex of dailydoseofterror.blogspot.com. He stopped updating the site, but it is still there. Delve into the world of the private military contractors and the military exercises and the drills, and you will be afraid at first. But then once you start to watch it, once you start to see it, and again, that's why we do this whole thing. Am I saving the world? Hell no. Am I trying to arm you with a little bit of info for when something maybe goes down, you won't be so surprised? Hopefully. So the Vigilant Guard drills aren't the last of what's going on, and I'm sure there's more coming up, and we'll go over those as we hit them, and I'm sure there's even a few more headlines still yet to come in this episode 141 of MediaMonarchy.com. So that's FEMA and NORTHCOM running Vigilant Guard drills in Montana, supposedly ending today. This leads us perfectly into Police State International Intel Drills, Raids, and Revolution. As the site has gotten overstuffed, as everything accelerates, I was even just talking to a truck driver who brings the freight to my job when we were marking the manifest, putting our initials on it, and every time you write the date, you go, God, it's already September. Things are flying. He said, yeah, things are flying. Things are really sped up. Things have really seemed to speed up since 9/11, he said. And I agreed with a knowing smile. Perhaps, hopefully, that maybe's opened the door for further discussions. But we'll see. And I digress. When I say Police State International, and as I've started to basically bunch a lot of the news stories and headlines, because I can't flesh it all out, I can't post these articles up with full text, there's no way, there's no room, there's no time. I'm relying on you to see the headlines and to data mine and to scan for the info and get it and follow it and further explore it. So when I say Police State International or Police State in general, that I generally take that to be things they're doing to us in an encroaching police state. And it's going to be ugly. Police State International, Intel, Drills, Raids, and Revolution. First, articles, as well as audio and video reports on the sonic crowd control weapons being deployed at town hall meetings.
The Sheriff's Department went on the defensive today about a new sonic weapon. We showed you the long-range acoustic device, or LRAD, yesterday on 10 News. Now, it's a technology used in Iraq to control insurgents, and now it's being used by the San Diego Sheriff's Department. Today, 10 News reporter Ariana Duarte spoke with the Sheriff's Department to find out exactly how that LRAD will be used. Ariana?
Well, Steve, there was a lot of concern over whether the LRAD would be dangerous and if it would be used the way it is in war zones. We asked the Sheriff's Department, and here's what they have to say.
Please clear the street and the event area.
The Sheriff's Department rolled out their new sonic weapon today, one day after a 10 News report raised questions about the device called the LRAD. They're used to repel terrorists in Iraq, and now they're in the hands of the San Diego Sheriff's Department.
As you turn the volume up, of course, it's going to get much louder.
The device was originally made to be used for war, emitting high-pitched sounds as a form of crowd control. Monday, members of the ACLU spoke with 10 News, outraged that local law enforcement now have a device, and that they brought it to recent town hall meetings in case things got out of hand.
We think that local law enforcement shouldn't be using military-style weaponry like that.
But today, the Sheriff's Department told 10 News that it's only being used for good, like helping search and rescue and warning people during fires or floods.
So will it never be used in San Diego as a weapon?
No, not by the Sheriff's Department.
And that's a guarantee?
Yes.
San Diego Sheriff Bill Gore was recently quoted saying the LRAD was purchased for events should there be any problem, adding, "We could use the LRAD in place of pepper spray." We asked the Sheriff's Department about the comment, and they told us it was probably just a poor choice of words, and insisted a device is only here to help.
And if the issue is getting the message out to the people that need to hear it, then this is the device to do it.
So is it used to startle them?
No.
So how is it comparable to pepper spray?
I don't know that I would make that comparison.
The LRAD cost the Sheriff's Department $27,000. It was paid for with money from the 2007 Homeland Security Grant. Ariana Duarte, 10 News.
Another simple local news report that yet contains all of the pivotal pieces of information that we're talking about when we talk about the police state. What they seem to say over and over again for the first minute and a half of that report is, this was for Iraq, now it's for you. This was for a war zone, now it's for you. The PR effect. We'll only be using it for crowd control events, traffic, DUIs, PR events that shows the military performing public service. Generally, again, always in violation of posse comitatus, the Civil War law that prohibits the military from performing law enforcement duties. Stomped all over. And you heard the guy say, so you won't use this as a weapon? No. Is that a guarantee? Yeah, the Sheriff's Department will never use it. Oh, wait, there's the catch, my friends. Boss Hogg won't use it himself. However, when the feds come in and take over, as is completely allowed and documented, John Warner Defense Authorization Act, Governor of West Virginia Joe Manchin, as well as many other governors, I believe also from Vermont and the Governors Association, written letters to the president saying, you've taken away the power of the state governors to declare national emergency. The commander-in-chief can decide when or when not to send in the military. So he says, the Sheriff's Department won't use this. It'll be when the feds or the private military contractors like Blackwater or Z come in. So it's all there in that report, quite simply, sonic crowd control weapons being deployed at town hall meetings. It was for Iraq, now it's for you. That's what all this was. They said it's just for the terrorists. It's always meant for us. Since they blew the dust off the Patriot Act and rushed it through Congress, it was already written. They were just waiting for an event. From the Associated Press, vampire cops say syringes will help stop drunk driving by taking blood. We've been noting this story. It's been happening more and more in the last year that essentially, oh, you don't want a breathalyzer? How about I take your blood right now forcibly? Originally, this was being fought against. Originally, hospitals were saying, we won't take this as evidence. We won't be a part of this. But just as Emmanuel Goldstein mentioned a little bit ago, that if we want to continue this war of terror, they'll just continue the war of attrition. The war of attrition is also being waged against us. breaking down whatever little resistance we had left anyway. They just keep coming back. Even when they say they're going to stop something, you know, it's just going to pop back up whack-a-mole style. Maybe with a new name, maybe with a new coat of paint, whether it's the Cybersecurity Act that still gives the president the on-off switch, or whether it's this vaunted missile defense system that now Obama says is off the table. Two steps forward, one step back. And yet again, I digress. New York homes raided in terror probe. We've got reports from the Washington Post as well as the New York Times. But let's jump to the New York Daily News. FBI unit set for more anti-terror raids in Queens, and even a Colorado home was raided. Now, this article starts with a nice photograph of the elite FBI hostage rescue team poised to make more anti-terror raids as they sit flying in a black helicopter. FBI agents with bomb-sniffing dogs Wednesday raided the Colorado apartment of an Afghan national linked to Al-Qaeda in a plot to attack the New York subway system. Simultaneously, authorities swarmed over a nearby home believed to belong to a relative of Najibullah Zazi, Z-A-Z-I, hauling out boxes of evidence. And Zazi, 25, met with investigators at FBI headquarters in Denver and provided a DNA sample, a fingerprint, and writing samples. "My client is not involved in any terror plot. He answered every question they had." The searches in Aurora, Colorado, came as the NYPD and an elite FBI team poised for additional raids in Queens in a hunt for bomb-making materials. Earlier, Queens raids turned up 9 knapsacks and cell phones, raising concerns about bombers detonating simultaneous blasts as they did in the 2004 attacks that killed 191 commuters in Spain. That would be on 3/11/2004. 911 days after 9/11. Somebody likes their numbers. I'm not sure if it's Al Qaeda or not. Queens raid prompts alert on homemade explosives. That's the New York Times article. Watch out, homegrown errorism. Army.mil goes into the task force born on 9/11, still guards New York. But on a different note, and again, multiple links to support the bad news. First from Raw Story, police to get access to classified military intelligence. In a move raising eyebrows among civil liberties advocates, the Department of Homeland Security announced Monday that it would give so-called local and state fusion centers access to classified military intel in the Pentagon databases. Side note about Al-Qaeda, of course, Al-Qaeda literally means the base, as in the database of Mujahideen terrorists we used to fund in the proxy war against the Soviets in the 70s in Afghanistan. Fusion centers are hubs for local law enforcement, the private sector, and intel community, and were created in an effort to fight terrorism. There are more than 70 known centers across the U.S. The decision to give fusion centers access to classified intel appears to be a shift in policy by Homeland Stupidity. In July, Secretary Janet Napolitano said, quote, that fusion centers were not intended to have a military presence and that she was not aware of ones that did, according to the New York Times. The centers have been a flashpoint of criticism from civil liberties groups. The ACLU, in particular, has been a vehement critic. Thankfully. DOD announces new info access to fusion centers. That's from defenselink.mil. DOD opens some classified info to non-federal officials. That's from federalcomputerweek.com. But on a different, although not entirely unrelated note, from Press TV, as well as around the world, but again, when you want to get the dirt, you sometimes have to go to the foreign press, even in this case if it's the state media of Iran. The head of U.S. Intel has disclosed for the first time the overall cost of Washington's spending on intelligence in 1 year. Director of National Intelligence Dennis Blair, a member of the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations, said Tuesday that the U.S. spends $75 billion a year on intelligence. As we've noted before, we can put a man on the moon, but we can't put a man in an apartment. We can launch sophisticated drone attacks. However, we can't shoot a guy a banana, like Bill Hicks said. If they wanted to help the world, they could. They could do it overnight with the same shock and awe that we saw when we used to kill people. They don't want to do it. They don't care about you. Pittsburgh City Council delays giving police new powers for the upcoming G20 meeting. Yes, of course, we're hosting the upcoming Group of 20 meeting, where all the local and international banksters, gangsters, puppet leaders, patsies, frontmen, big oil, big pharma, big business. This is all going to land in our lap in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh City Council balked at giving final approval to legislation that could give police new powers in advance of anticipated G20 summit protests, putting the matter off until the next day. This being the 15th and 16th of September, I do not know the update on this story. I'm sure that the armed thugs will be allowed to do whatever they want to do. And make sure we go on record right now and say, watch for provocateur violence in the protests. Again, watch for foundation-funded, quote-unquote, anarchists. Perhaps shepherded, trained, let in, let out by Delta Force, involved in the battle for Seattle, smashing those Starbucks windows. Or like all the other protests, when we see the feds dress up like protesters to start violence, it's just another example of a false flag attack, flying the flag of someone else to pull an attack so you can blame them for it. Uncle Scam eyes vehicle tracking tax. This from a site that I'd never seen before, but I approve. It's called thetruthaboutcars.com. A member of Congress proposes to use taxpayer money to fund the development of technology to track motors as part of a new form of taxation. I wonder who this is. U.S. Representative Earl Blumenauer, Democrat of Oregon, introduced H.R. 3311 earlier this year to appropriate $154 million for research and study into the transition to a per-mile vehicle tax system. The Road User Fee Pilot Project would be administered by the U.S. Treasury Department, appropriately enough. We've covered that story on Media Monarchy many times. And again, in another unfortunate way, Oregon leads the nation. We mentioned last week the upcoming drills that Canada is going to run in Washington, D.C., where they were going to set off bombs in downtown D.C. That didn't really go over so well. This update is from 6 days ago. Canadian scaleback planned military demo in D.C., a planned Canadian military demonstration that would have included simulated bomb blasts within blocks of the White House and the Capitol. It's been scaled back after media reports focused on the explosive elements. So that should be fairly instructive. If you get informed and you get activated about what's being shoved down our throats, the bastards back down. The Canadian embassy had planned to simulate the detonation of an improvised explosive device several times over 2 days, starting September 23rd, to demonstrate what life is like in war-torn Afghanistan and how Canadian forces there respond with medical help. Again, poor Canada, poor Australia, following the U.S. down the hole of the war of terror. Canada's probably no place to run away to anymore. From WHEC.com, as well as a little raw video for you, and a warning to people in Greece, New York, your town is not under attack. Don't be alarmed by what you might have seen on the morning of 9/11. Your town was not under attack. We're not sure. There's not a lot of people that know about this, but soldiers landed in the town. It was a military exercise by the 401st Civil Affairs Battalion, the Army Reserve Unit based in Webster, New York. Warning, warning, warning. This is not an attack. This is not an assault. Lay down, GI. North Carolina Marines train for terrorism. Click the link to Haven News or havenews.com. It's from Havelock, North Carolina. That's Hevelock. And it's havenews.com. And you can see a nice photo of those North Carolina Marines training for terrorism. Disaster drill involves hundreds. That's from deseretnews.com. Butte participates in earthquake drill. This is from montananewsstation.com.
Black Hawk medical helicopters barged into Butte, swinging in from the north just before 11 a.m. as the National Guard choppers touched down on Sinners Field next to St. James Healthcare. Medical personnel and ambulance crews stood by. It's all part of an exercise to ready Montana's emergency responders for a major earthquake. The largest part of that drill, as reported, taking part in Helena, the epicenter of the simulated disaster, with mock victims brought to Butte to test responses and treatment facilities in the mining city. But it doesn't stop when the choppers are unloaded.
They've been taken into the emergency room. They'll be triaged there once they arrive there, and then depending on their level of care needed, they'll either be taken care of in the emergency room or go to surgery or wherever they need to go to.
Doyle says he's impressed with the preparedness of emergency workers in Butte and saying the hospital staff is doing a great job handling several emergency drills this summer.
Did they say black helicopters? God, I thought those things didn't exist. I already told you that. More drills. We mentioned Northcom before, but did you know about Southcom? Southern Seas 2009 is a six-month, that's April through October, naval deployment to the Caribbean and Central and South America. As part of these drills running through October, there's also something called Panamax. So we got Southern Seas and Panamax drills as well running, in addition to Amalgam Dart, Ardent Century, Vigilant Guard. But a way to break this down and wrap up this Police State International posting intel drills, raids, and revolution. It's time for that revolution. It may not be televised, but it might be broadcast or podcast. Returning to Russia Today for more from Gerald Celente of Trends Research Institute. Celente said, what's next for the U.S.? Revolution.
Do you think the United States is going to learn anything from this experience? Will it transform into something else and better?
We're in the midst right now of the second American Revolution. We're going to have to see how it plays out. We're in the early stages of a revolution. We could go into a revolution or we could go into a renaissance. Both opportunities are there. The direction we see it going in the short term is revolution. From the revolution, however, we can go back. A renaissance is a rebirth. If we go back to the formula that worked the best in America, Main Street, not Wall Street. America went from the country that prided itself in quality number one to bottom line. How can we make the most money, build it the cheapest, build it the biggest?
Let me follow up on your point about a revolution. For there to be a revolution, the majority of Americans, it seems, needs to get really fed up. Meanwhile, however, we're seeing that many Americans are still very much enticed with their president. What's your take on this?
America's a first, second, and third world country. Revolutions don't happen from the people that are going to be watching American Idol or waste their time away playing video games and their minds lost in celebrity culture, pop culture. It's going to come from a different area. You have people from both ends of the spectrum, on the far right and the far left, becoming anti-Obama. On the far right, you know, it's the gun-toting America firsters, and there's racism involved in it too. Let's not be blind to that. That's on one aspect. On the left, you have the core that Obama brought in that are now pulling away from him. And these are the people that were against more troops in Afghanistan, against strikes into Pakistan, into other sovereign countries, These were the people that wanted to see the military shrink, not grow by 4%. So he's losing his core base on the left. So the revolution in many different areas, because Obama's backtracking on a lot of core issues that were very important to the left. So he's losing the left and he's lost the right, never had it to begin with. So the revolution is now being fought by a number of different factions within both the Republican and Democratic Party. And that's what's going to make this revolution happen.
Do you predict a second term for Barack Obama?
It's too early to tell now. As I was mentioning earlier about President Bush being down in the polls 50% in September of 2001. And then all of a sudden 9/11 happened. And the people rallied behind him. So from a president that people looked upon as someone incompetent, he became a president that led the country into two wars, by the way, for fake reasons. So you can't tell whether it's a terrorist attack, whether it's an act of nature or an act of man. You don't know what will happen by 2012. However, the way the trends are going now, I want to make that clear, the way they're going now, and nobody can predict the future, there are too many wild cards thrown on the deck. President Obama will be not only a one-term president, but will also see the emergence of a third party. Because many Americans, the independents, which account for more than the party members, either the Republicans or the Democrats, want a third way. So we may see a new third party emerge by 2012, which we're calling Progressive Libertarian. So that's what we see more than a question of Obama versus the Republicans, because who are the Republicans they're going to put up? Another nobody that no one wants. America is a country where people vote for a lesser of two evils. It's a two-headed, one-party system.
That's just a little bit of the nearly 12-minute-long interview with Gerald Celente, myrussiatoday.com. Again, Gerald Celente of Trends Research. I believe it's trendsresearch.com. One of the very few to accurately predict the econo crash. Not only that, but that it would happen in September 2008. That, coupled with a lot of his other analysis, puts us in a pretty precarious position, people. And that's when the drugs kicked in. It's time for, as the late, great Bill Hicks would say, a positive drug story. But we put it under the econo crash heading, Yes, We Cannabis! Americans grow cannabis to beat the recession. Again, going to the foreign press to get the breakdown from The Guardian. Some people cancel holidays abroad. Others stage yard sales or start shopping at low-cost supermarkets. To that list must now be added a new way to get through economic hard times, grow cannabis. Or as Jelly Biafra would say, grow more pot. Law enforcers on the west coast of the U.S. and in the middle states, straddled by the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, are reporting a common trend. It is boom time for marijuana cultivation, and much of the incentive, they say, is to beat the recession. So far this year, police in parts of the country where cannabis is traditionally grown have chopped down plants with a street value of $12 billion. The core growing areas are in California, Washington, and Oregon to the west, but the Appalachian states of Kentucky, Tennessee, and good old almost heaven West Virginia are also witnessing an explosion. So good on Oregon and West Virginia. Yes, we cannabis. As I went over in my recent interview with Richard Grove of TragedyAndHope.com, there aren't a lot of simple fixes, and you've probably heard me say this on the show as well, but two of the amazing moves we could make to literally change the world would be, one, remove corporate personhood, brought to us by a Skull and Bonesman, and number two would be, as we said, grow more pot. The rest of the Econocrash headlines here. Blockbusted breadlines. Dollar pessimism highest in 18 months. That's from Bloomberg. Blockbuster's video to close up to 960 stores. With some of the things that we won't miss with the Econocrash, as we've noted, deadmalls.com. I won't miss Blockbuster Video, and I think it's a great example of when someone comes up with a new, better idea, such as Netflix, things like Blockbuster hit the skids. They're not going bankrupt by any stretch. They're just restructuring. But again, don't give them your money. On an historic day, Obama warns of financial collapse. This, again, from PressTV.ir. 1 year after the start of the financial crisis in the U.S., Obama warns of complacency that might lead the country to an economic standstill. Speaking last Monday in the U.S. financial hub, Wall Street, to mark the first anniversary of the latest U.S. economic downturn, sparked, of course, by the collapse of one of America's oldest commercial banks, Lehman Brothers. Obama called for an imminent launch of regulatory bodies in order to implement effective oversight of America's yada yada blobbity bloomling. More of the same. We hit last week. Obama making depression mistakes. Again, that was from the foreign press, though. Washington's blog going into why Obama isn't breaking up the insolvent banks. Furthermore, asking a question and answering it, we can't break up the giant banks, can we? Yes, we can. Thank you, Satan. Chorus Bank seized, deposits bought by MB Financial. That's from Bloomberg. That's from last FDIC Friday. I'm sure we'll see more this Friday as the banksters collapse, or at least the buildings that they give us inflated usurious money. H.R. 1207, Ron Paul's audit the Fed bill, is now veto-proof, my friends. There's also the related Senate bill, but just Google it, audit the Fed. I've called up the office of the aforementioned Democrat rep from Portland, Earl Blumenauer. He doesn't want to audit the Fed. And finally, on this Econocrash post, yes, we cannabis plus blockbusted breadlines. One more return to RussiaToday.com for a quick clip from Peter Schiff, another noted economist who actually knows what's going on with the funny money, Federal Reserve, Ponzi scheme, bankster bailouts, TARPs, and Goldman Sachs. Peter Schiff says Americans must prepare for deepening unemployment, inflation, and possibly breadlines.
Many prominent businessmen and speculators here in the United States, including George Soros, have come out saying that the biggest concern over America's economy is that eventually this country will collapse like the Soviet Union did.
The Soviet Union certainly collapsed for many of the reasons that we're in trouble. They simply, the government was too big. They spent a lot of money they didn't have maintaining an empire around the world. And ultimately, they couldn't control that empire because they ran out of funds. The United States, we support an empire of sorts. We have a huge military presence around the world that we can't afford because we're borrowing the money. Our government has promised tremendous entitlements to American citizens that it can't afford. We've also borrowed money from the rest of the world that we can't afford to repay. So we're basically broke, and I don't think the U.S. government can afford to maintain this empire. Hopefully, we don't, see a similar fate in that the United States breaks apart, that states decide they want to leave the Union. If things get bad, if we can continue on this path, and if the U.S. government continues to make these mistakes, continues to increase the deficit spending, keeps bailing companies up, propping companies up, and raises taxes to finance it, I can see movements beginning in various American states to get out from under it.
There you have it. All the latest on the Econocrash, or the new financial world order, if you like. Now 1 year in. Happy anniversary, new financial world order. We still have several posts left, on episode 141 of MediaMonarchy.com. And this relates to the econocrash. I find this very interesting. Is this the equivalent of Wall Street banksters jumping out of windows? There have been many suspicious deaths lately. The first post, two suspicious deaths surrounding banksters and Blagojevich. First from Bloomberg, indicted financier Danny Pang dies in California. Danny Pang, P-A-N-G, founder of Private Equity Management Group Incorporated, who U.S. investors, or rather who U.S. regulators claim bilked Taiwanese investors. He died on 9/11/09. He was 42. Pang was taken from his Newport Beach, California home to Hogue Hospital in the afternoon of 9/11 by paramedics who had responded to a call from the house. Charles Sipkins, a Pang family spokesman, confirmed the death and declined to comment further. Pang's lawyer, James Riddick, wasn't available. Pang, who was free on $1 million bail, pleaded not guilty on July 27th to charges in a separate criminal case that he structured cash withdrawals to avoid having to report to them. He was charged in an indictment with two counts of making a total of about 50 withdrawals in amounts as high as $9,900 to evade a U.S. law that requires reporting cash withdrawals of $10,000 or more. Again, something Richard Grove went over in my recent interview with him. So that's the death of Danny Pang. There are many links in there to Reuters as well as the Wall Street Journal, and it doesn't really get into the circumstances of his death. However, the next case of a suspicious death, this from the Chicago Tribune, Christopher Kelly, a key figure in the recently disgraced, deposed Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Christopher Kelly, key figure in the Blagojevich corruption probe, is also dead.
This is developing now, a political bombshell. A key figure in the corruption case against Rod Blagojevich is dead. Good evening. I'm Byron Hartman.
And I'm Nancy Pender. It's a story you saw first on Fox. Christopher Kelly, pronounced dead at Stroger Hospital.
Tonight, what killed him and the implications for the case against Rod Blagojevich. Team coverage now. Steve Shamrock is outside the medical examiner's office at Harrison and 11. Steve.
Byron and Nancy, according to a spokesperson for the Cook County Hospital System, Chris Kelly spent the final 12 hours of his life under the care of doctors in two different Cook County hospitals. At one point, he was even alert and, to use a word from that spokesperson, stable. These are just two elements in a mysterious chain of events that ultimately ends with the death of Chris Kelly. Doctors at Stroger Hospital went to work on Chris Kelly at 5:15 this morning, almost 6 hours after he fell ill. It was around 11:15 last night that Kelly was found in a lumber yard in far south suburban Country Club Hills. He was then rushed to Oak Forest Hospital, also in the southwest suburbs. The spokesperson for the county hospital system says Kelly's condition at Oak Forest was stable, then worsened. Kelly was then rushed by private ambulance to Stroger on the city's west side. After 5 hours, attempts to save the 51-year-old's life failed. Kelly was pronounced dead at 10:46 this morning. The investigation into Kelly's death is now in the hands of Cook County's medical examiner. The spokesperson says an autopsy is scheduled for tomorrow when a cause of death will be determined. But several published reports say Kelly's death was consistent with an overdose of aspirin. While no one in law enforcement or from the Cook County hospital system will say it, all indications do point towards a suicide. However, law enforcement is not treating that as such. Chicago Police, Illinois State Police, Country Club Hills Police, and here the medical examiner, they're all launching investigations into exactly how Chris Kelly died. The next big piece of information we can expect in that investigation, of course, is the autopsy scheduled here tomorrow. Live on the west side of the city, Steve Shamrock, Fox Chicago News.
All right, Steve, thank you.
The part that jumps out the most at me there in the mysterious death of Chris Kelly, key figure in the Blagojevich corruption probe, is that he was transferred to a second hospital with a private ambulance. But then it didn't stop. Two more suspicious deaths just a day later, 48 hours essentially. Rockefeller chief James McDonald dies in apparent suicide. This from Bloomberg. James McDonald, chief executive officer of New York investment firm Rockefeller & Company, died Sunday from a single gunshot wound that was probably self-inflicted. Goes into the Rockefeller family and all their connections. The fourth one, former Beneficial CEO Finn Kasperson dies in apparent suicide.
We have breaking news just into the Eyewitness Newsroom. The Westerly Police Department has confirmed they're investigating the death of international financial giant Finn Kasperson. Investigators say Kasperson has been found dead inside his Westerly home. His body was reportedly discovered Monday after they were asked to perform a well-being check. Kasperson worked for a Beneficial Corporation where he served as chairman and CEO before retiring. Westerly police are not saying if foul play is suspected.
The update there is that Kasperson may have hidden millions of dollars abroad in lots of hidden private offshore places. That's from the New York Times, and the flashback goes back to... No, rather, I misspoke. That just connects us to the other two mysterious deaths surrounding Banksters and Blagojevich. But it didn't stop there. It continued. Wednesday. Key witness in federal passport fraud case fatally shot. This is from the Washington Times. A key witness in a federal probe into passport information stolen from the State Department was fatally shot in front of a district church, the Metropolitan Police Department said. Lieutenant Quarles Harris Jr., who had been cooperating with a federal investigator, was found late Thursday night slumped dead inside a car. Emergency medics pronounced him dead at the scene. What this relates to? Oh, and interestingly enough, they found him thanks to a shot spotter, which is a fancy name for microphones and devices that listen to you. But this relates to what originally broke April 5th, that contractors for the State Department had improperly accessed passport info for presidential candidates Hillary, Barack, and John. You remember that story? And I believe this kind of connects back to what I said earlier and just the swirling of stories surrounding the rise of Obama and everything being hacked. Everything's imminently hackable. I think it's going to be a central meme, and again, that's why I started cyberspacewar.com to track all these events and watching for the prep and the unleashing of an I-9-11. And again, Richard Clark, Lawrence Lessig, and others have pointed out that there's already an I-Patriot Act sitting on the shelf, just waiting for some catalyzing, catastrophic event to happen to the web. Quickly, though, to geopolitics, shoe-throwing, missile shields, and sanctions. Again, remember this? The Iraqi who threw his shoes at Bush, he has now been released from prison, and surprise, surprise, he was tortured. More on that from MSNBC, as well as the Los Angeles Times, and the flashback on MediaMonarchy.com going back to December of 2008. Seems so much longer ago than that. Shoes thrown at Bush in protest of final visit to Iraq. A big story, and one that we didn't really spend any time on this week. It all has yet to shake out on who's betraying who and what's defending what. Obama scraps Bush's European missile defense plan. That's from the Associated Press, from the Washington Post. Obama to scrap European missile shield. U.S. expected to cancel missile shield in Europe. But from the BBC, Russia hails U.S. missile overhaul. And interestingly enough, this all came again, as we noted from FDR earlier, if anything happens in politics, you can bet it was planned that way. Why did this announcement come on the day that it did? Dear Poland, happy Soviet Invasion Day. Love, Uncle Sam. That day, of course, marks the anniversary of the Russian invasion of Poland, even though they were already battling the Nazis. Shelving missile shield, another step in U.S.-Russia reset. That's from the Deutsche Press Agency. Russian president hints at U-turn over Iran sanctions. That's from Times Online. And I believe something that blew past my radar on the front of Google News this morning is that essentially, I believe it's the Polish newspaper Fakt, F-A-K-T, is that essentially they see it as a sellout. Obama sold us out to Russia for an exchange on a ratcheting up of the saber rattling against Iran. Again, it's all the grand chessboard. It's playing both ends against the middle. It's the proxy wars. Nuke agency says Iran can make a bomb. That's from Reuters. Ex-intel officer discloses U.S. plans for Pakistan. That's from Press TV. Blackwater involved in Bhutto and Hariri hits, so says former Pakistani army chief. That's from Tehran Times. And a little bit of a shift here from newsobserver.com. Panel says to admit illegal aliens to college. This comes out of North Carolina. From Examiner.com, U.S. invades Somalia. I don't have time to fully flesh that out, but according to the Associated Press, witnesses have spotted U.S. troops invading the town of Barar, Somalia, near Mogadishu. Spelled out, the war on terror has found a new home front. The last note here on geopolitics, and we've hit it before, but we'll hit it again, just to kind of sink in the message or to catapult the propaganda, as Bush would say. The 1.2 billion person population of India are all set to get biometric identification cards. That is from The Guardian. And after all that bad news, after all those horrible things that, again, you're only empowered with the information, you can only use that to arm yourself and make better decisions about what's going on. I feel like I can do the steam valve and let you off the hook a little bit, let a little steam off in the way that we can only get from satire. U.S. condemned for preemptive use of Hillary Clinton against Pakistan.
Pakistani officials are expressing outrage following what many in the international community are calling the brutal and unjustified use of Hillary Clinton against their nation. Secretary of State Clinton hit Islamabad at approximately 9 a.m. yesterday, and most civilians were starting their workday or attending morning prayers. Just hours after Clinton arrived, the U.N. released a statement condemning the United States, saying, quote, under no circumstances is there ever a justification for the preemptive deployment of Hillary Clinton anywhere by any country. Joining us now is Pakistan's ambassador to the United States, Hassam Amdiri. Thank you for being here, Mr. Ambassador. Preliminary figures we have here showing over 500 civilians suffered the full force of Mrs. Clinton, and over 1,000 more may have suffered some exposure to her inflexible hair and pseudo-folksic hand gestures.
It's horrible. Innocent women and even children had to endure her stiffly rehearsed stories about farmers she met who inspired her. She was even sent into a hospital.
That's all.
Mr. Obama clearly regards our people as beneath human dignity to have unleashed such a woman upon us.
The Red Cross has set up camps just across the Afghan border for the tens of thousands of refugees who fled their homes to avoid Ms. Clinton.
They were the
right?
lucky ones. Many more were trapped inside the Clintonized area and could not escape her clumsy attempts to relate
to them. So people were caught completely unaware.
I'm afraid so. The Hillary Clinton warning sirens sounded just a few minutes before she hit. It was too late for most people. They had to endure her cacophonous fake laughter.
Sir, I'm just getting word that the White House has released the following statement. We reserve the right to use Hillary Clinton in situations where all other options have failed. Mr. Ambassador, this sounds like a threatening tone.
It is horrible. The world must unite against this act of naked aggression. Let 1,000 Hillary Clintons rain down upon those responsible for this.
All right, Mr. Amdiri, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Intelligence reports have indicated that Pakistan is developing its own Hillary Clinton and that Anita Alvey, a stiff, humorless provincial representative, could be ready to use against a major U.S. city as soon as 2011.
If only everything were all that funny. And as I glance one last time at Google News on this September 18th, 2009, it's geopolitics all the way. Eastern European officials say U.S. betrayed us, again referring to the missile defense system. Israeli-Palestinian peace talk deal eludes Obama envoy. And again, further on the international race war and Ahmadinejad and the Holocaust myth. Didn't have time to do it last week into the 9/11 anniversary show, so we'll do it quickly here. Creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past 2 weeks. I track some of the more interesting private, military, and governmental visitors to MediaMonarchy.com and post them up for you here. Oh, well, just speaking of, the Virginia Holocaust Museum out of Richmond, Virginia, they Googled television under the swastika. We had General Electric out of Connecticut, Boeing out of Chicago, Coca-Cola out of Atlanta, the CBC out of Ottawa, Mazda Motor out of Irvine, California, Amoco out of Tulsa, the National Park Service out of D.C., Lockheed Martin out of Denver, the Department of the Interior out of Aurora, Colorado, the West Virginia Department of Education in Charleston, West Virginia, FEMA, Navy Network Information Center, J.P. Morgan Chase, and the 754th Electronic Systems Group out of Montgomery, Alabama, Googling, what is Ardent Century? And if you don't know, you better Google it too, my friends. This has been episode 141 of MediaMonarchy.com. It's September 18th, 2009. My name's James Evanpilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the sites and shows MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and CyberspaceWar.com, imploring you, reminding you to get active or get radioactive. Take care.
Police would get him just the same.